The ABC, Australia's government-funded and very woke national broadcaster, let something slip the other day. I'm sure it was an accident because what it let slip was something very big that explodes a fantasy that Aboriginal violence today is all the fault of racist whites, of colonialists. A fantasy that Aborigines used to be so peaceful. A fantasy promoted by two unlikely comrades, Lydia Thorpe, the race-baiting senator, and British colonialist Captain James Cook, the great explorer and the first man to map the east coast of Australia. Well, Bruce Pascoe gets mentioned later too. But the ABC just blew it in a broadcast for schoolchildren. It was yet another documentary about how traditional Aborigines led such wonderfully rich and inventive lives, you know, before evil whites came and declared war and destroyed everything. You know the story. Look, the ABC said, not realising what it was doing, look at these first weapons of the first people of this continent. For tens of thousands of years, First Nations peoples have used savvy skill and science to craft and create weapons to hunt, kill and survive. Practices have evolved, but the principles are just as relevant today. Thinking, apart from the awful alliteration all through that, this just as relevant today? That's a bit of a giveaway, because it then got worse.
In my hands are two impressive weapons. In my right hand, I have the liangle, and in my left hand, the parrying shield.
Now, I don't know whether you spotted it, but the ABC's big mistake was to say, yes, indeed, Aborigines did have shields. You see, the only reason they needed shields was not to defend themselves from kangaroos or wombats or the passing emu or even a falling koala, but to defend themselves from other Aborigines, which the ABC then helpfully demonstrated.
I can definitely feel a warrior bloodline when you hold these up.
So there you have it. A warrior bloodline. So, not a lover, but a fighter. But that's all a bit strange, isn't it? Because for more than 250 years, the left has been in love with the idea of the noble savage. Now, that noble savage myth is that tribal people, known then as savages, primitives, not my language, that's what was used, they were nobler and kinder than Westerners who'd been corrupted by their filthy wealth and their civilization. It was the French writer Jean-Jacques Rousseau who popularised this myth, and James Cook was absolutely full of it when he saw Aborigines as he mapped parts of Australia in 1770, writing in his journal, "They live in tranquility. The earth and sea of their own accord furnishes them with all things necessary for life. They covet not magnificent houses, household stuff. They live in a warm and fine climate and enjoy a very wholesome air so that they have very little need of clothing. In reality," he said, "they are far more happier than we Europeans." Of course, James Cook came to learn the limits of the noble savage myth when he was murdered by a tribe in Hawaii. But Australia's most famous Aborigine, that's the fake Aboriginal Professor Bruce Pascoe, he still preaches this same noble savage myth today. Aborigines, he claims, lived without war, lived like green activists would love.
The civilization that invented bread, society, language, and the ability to live as 350 neighbouring nations without land war. Not without rancour, for that is the human condition, but without a lust for land and power, without religious war, without slaves, without poverty, but with a profound responsibility for the health of Mother Earth for over 120,000 years.
And Senator Lydia Thorpe, well, she still pushes that same myth today, this popular and political claim that the Aborigines lived in peace before the white men came.
My mob, Gunditjmara and Jabbarung, my grandmother's country, had 70 clans living in peace and harmony pre-colonisation.
Now, that is actually nonsense, particularly in this case, because Thorpe's old Gunai tribe of Gippsland, just for a start, was itself guilty of massacres of Aborigines. There's even a page on Wikipedia devoted to one of the worst, known to colonialists. It's the Warrawin Massacre, Warrawin, or Place of Sorrow. William Thomas, the Assistant Protector of Aborigines of the Colony then at Melbourne, said Aborigines told him 77 people of the local Bunurong tribe had been killed by the Gunai in a dawn raid at Brighton. That's a beachside area of Melbourne. So I guess the question now is Lydia Thorpe going to apologise for that massacre of Aborigines? Will she now pay reparations that she demands of everyone else? In fact, Australia's top historian, Geoffrey Blaney, estimates that Aboriginal warfare was so bad. This is tribal warfare. Back when Australia was barely colonised, that in parts of Australia, the death rates among Aborigines were nearly six times higher than the US suffered in World War II. Six times. But it's amazing that this idea that Aborigines were actually peaceful and it was the whites who brought in war has somehow become gospel in parts of our government. And I think the effects have been toxic. Now, it's been used, this excuse, now to explain away the terrible violence in some Aboriginal communities like Wadare. Now, I can't show you the worst of that for legal reasons. Also, the violence in communities such as Arakan in Queensland. Terrible violence between Aboriginal clans and families and attacking police as well. It's also been used to explain away why Aboriginal women are 34 times more likely to be hospitalised because of violence, mostly domestic violence. And I'll tell you how it's been used. For instance, Australia's Human Rights Commission says, well, ask any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person and they will tell you stories of the backstabbing, bullying and even physical violence perpetrated by community members against each other. So it's admitted that so far. Here comes the excuse. There is a name for this sort of behaviour, lateral violence. Lateral violence is often described as internalised colonialism, i.e. they got it from the whites. Or to be more explicit, this is from academics at Melbourne's Monash University. The tendency of Indigenous people, Aborigines, to direct their frustration and anger due to oppression towards members of their own group is known as lateral violence. White settler colonisation is often attributed as the main cause of lateral violence. So once again, blame the whites if Aborigines are attacking each other. Now, what this myth does is toxic in two ways. For a start, of course, it preaches a loathing of Australia and its history since white settlement. And preaches that loathing not just among the Aborigines, that look how terrible the whites are. You don't want to trust them, you don't want to mix with them. This is terrible. But this myth also preaches that high rates of violence among Aborigines is something that whites were responsible for and whites must fix, not Aborigines themselves. And that, of course, may be why it doesn't seem to get any better, this violence year after year. And I guess the moral of the story is that lies hurt. And truths, like I've just given you, they can seem hard and even heartless. But you just look, these sweet lies of the left, look at the damage they do.